Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting The Instance. Stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell your information. Go to expressvpn.com/wow and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package.
What difference is there between you and the Lich King now?
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Instance, the first of 2021. It is Friday, January 8th. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Garrett Weinzierl. Hello.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Hey, I missed you. We had a holiday and all that. And
so, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, because Christmas Day happened on two different holidays, and it was weird. And, you know, could we have figured a way to squirm something in otherwise? Probably. Did we really want to around the holidays? Not so much. So we played a lot of WoW.
Listeners. Listeners, we like you, but we don't like you that much.
No, we don't like you nearly as much as you think. No, that's not true. We love you.
That's
guys.
A lie. I missed the show. This is it was missed.
I did too. It's one of my favorite things to do every week, and I'm glad we're here. No Patrick today. He is in France and therefore in a weird time zone and didn't work for him today. But don't worry. He'll be back at some point. And you can find out why he's not playing World of War. Just kidding. I don't know what he's doing. He might be actually playing a lot. I have no idea. But we'll get to that.
I have joined 50% of Patrick's new console acquisition. I got my PS5.
Oh, so you did? Very nice. Well done.
He and I are our next gen bros.
Let me ask you this. Are you, what is it that you said, you know what, my first game when I buy this will be what game? What'd you get?
I got Miles Morales because I love that new Spider-Man game. Is the one for the PS4 is. Might be my favorite game of the last generation.
It's amazing. It's a really great game. So
really liked it.
It's the correct answer.
It was just also there's not that many options. So
yeah, it's kind of one of a few that you have. But I've been loving my Series X. I have friends who are loving their PS5s. It's a great time to be a next gen gamer if you can find one.
Yes. Good luck. It was. I got really lucky on Amazon of all places.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe it. That is, it was just like, oh, they're back in stock. Let me try for the 57th time on Amazon. And I got through.
Anything that's out of stock a lot, I don't get them. I never can find them on Amazon. So you're one lucky duck. Well done.
Now I
that.
Can't find the controller charger, like the station where they, you know, the little stand that charges your controllers while they sit there. Those are out of stock everywhere and also going for double what they should be sold for.
Yeah, because scalpers suck and F everybody involved. All right.
Meanwhile, everything I can make in World of Warcraft at the bottom has fallen out of the market entirely, and I can't make gold.
There you go. Gold is gold flow has slowed way down. Take it from a professional skinner, which is really the only sub profession I enjoy. You ain't paying the prices you were 2 weeks ago. I can tell you that.
Well, that is the natural way of things with the expansion.
Bums me out. All right. Before we get going, we got giveaways. Yeah, that's right. You tuned in on a day where you, the listeners, and the live stream folks can get on this early. Those who get the show later, don't worry. We'll give you plenty of time to enter into this thing. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to go over to theinstance.net/freebies. It also works at frogpants.com/freebies. Either one works. But it's /freebies. And you're going to find a form there. And you're going to fill it out. And you're going to win. And this is for all you fence sitters. They're like, I haven't gotten the new expansion yet. I don't know if I'm playing it or I can't afford it right now. Whatever your reasons are for not playing Shadowlands and thinking you might want to re-up your account and go for it, we're giving away up to 10, maybe more. That I'm still waiting to hear back from it, but at least 10 EU and North American versions of Shadowlands, the Epic Edition. So that means the mount and the pet and all the extra stuff comes with it. It's like the one between normal and the massive one. So that's the Epic Edition of the game. And if you still haven't decided to play, now's your chance to get it for free. I want to thank Blizzard for making these codes available to us to give away. A bunch of people already put it up on Twitter. A bunch of people already in there. Don't worry, you have an equal chance to win. So if you're listening live right now or whenever you're listening, go sign up. Again, that's theinstance.net/freebies. All the info is there. If you're worried about giving out your information, there's a little disclaimer there. If you have any questions, you can email me. I'll tell you how I deal with that stuff. I just delete them after contests. I don't keep any of that stuff. So, and really all I'm asking for is like a name, an email, and what part of the world you live in. So, because that'll matter when I give these things away. So go check it out. Once again, theinstance.net/freebies. Let's get to these side quests. All right, check it out, y'all. I got Torghast news. Yeah, that's right. Everyone's favorite or least favorite thing in the game, it feels like, if you're polling people on social media. Torghast. Well, Torghast Twisting Corridors is now available in North America. This happened on the 5th, so a few days ago, a couple days ago. Here's the best part, all right? Clearing Layer 8 of the Twisted Corridors will reward you with the Mount Corridor Creeper, which is usable, wait for it, in the Maw! Okay? No more do you have to look at your druid friends and be jealous of their lifestyle where they can just mount wherever they feel like it in the Maw.
I mean, it's probably still a little bit of a wind-up cast time to pull that mount out so your druids still get to laugh at you.
That's true. They're still instantaneous and you're not. You never will be. Never will be.
Also, they didn't have to do something that currently feels impossible.
Yeah, you're actually right. I really want that mount because I'll get to it later why, but I'm taking a hunter through all the early bits of the post level 60 game, and I missed that mount that I was getting on that druid. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But anyway, so that's right. You can now feel the insurmountable feeling of glee in the horrible, unmountable hellscape that is the Maw, and ride shiny and chrome to the gates of Ankaraj. Not really, you'll not go there. Anyway, here are your other rewards.
It's dingy and dead.
Yeah,
there you go. Shiny and chrome.
Very, very well said. Layer 2, you get the Death Seeker. This is a battle pet. What horrors have seen in the Tower of Torghast with their unsleeping, unblinking gaze? All right, so there's that. Layer 4, you get Helm of the Dominated. It's a toy, so that's pretty cool. Everyone likes those toys. Got to catch them all. The Helm of the Mossworn, still seeping with the Jailer's dominating energies. Ooh. Sounds kind of gross, actually. Maybe don't wear that hat. And then finally, Layer 6, the Spire Stalker, which is, I don't know what that is. Oh, it's a title. You get the title of Spire Stalker.
It is a cool title. And yeah. I do like titles.
I like titles too. I also like turtles, but I like titles the most. And sorry, I couldn't think of it.
Low hanging fruit.
I thought of that kid. I couldn't help it. That weird kid
sitting there with his zombie makeup. It's great.
Yeah, I think I even have that right here. Hold on, just for fun. Do I have turtles? I like turtles. I don't have it handy. It's somewhere. I have this somewhere.
Oh God, this show's ruined. Sorry, everybody.
I have it somewhere. I have every clip of anything. You could just say a word to me and I could find a clip that has that word in it. Okay, here it is. I've done it now. We found it. Turtles. I like turtles. Enjoy.
I like turtles.
All right. It's out of our system.
The show is saved.
Yeah. We don't have to think about it anymore. Everything's good now. Anyway, that's 8 levels. You're probably looking at what feels like 2.5 hours in there to get there. But if you can clear it successfully with you or your friends, I think that mount's probably worth it. And that leads me to a quick question for you before we move on. The complaint about Torghast up to this point has mainly been the time it takes to clear even to level 6 of most of this stuff is not necessarily commensurate with the rewards you get for doing so. And they've nerfed it a bit, made some of that stuff a little bit easier and a little less arduous and grindy, but they haven't really improved the rewards on the other end. These are actual things that seem like they might be cool to obtain. It may not be exactly what we want or as much as we want, but it's better than nothing. Do you think that those tiered level-based rewards in this particular case, including that mount, are worth it for how long it's going to take you to clear 8 levels of that thing.
I mean, I haven't done it, so I can't speak from experience, but my gut is no.
Yeah.
my gut reaction is probably not.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way
probably.
Too.
I know you're going to want to talk about Torghast a little bit later on, and a lot of my feelings about this are kind of tied into that.
Yeah.
So,
all right. I'm
kind of holding back a little bit.
All right, hold back, cuz I'm putting it on blast today, man.
Yeah, I've got some pretty meaty thoughts on the science of fun.
There you go. I'm glad you said that, because that is right where I want to be. Because my discussion about Torghast isn't like pooping on Torghast. My discussion is around, am I having fun in there or not? And I'm so conflicted, it's ridiculous. So we're going to put it on blast. We're going to call it Tor Blast by the time this is over.
I like it.
All right. Tell me about how horrible my DPS is these days in the game.
Well, if you're a Beast Mastery Hunter, pretty bad, Scott. Pretty bad. But we have stats. I mean, we've had stats for a while, but now we have many, many weeks of stats that we can trust. So now we have a much better idea regarding overall Shadowlands DPS after week 4 of casting that 3 and the 3rd week of Mythic runs. So your top 5 are Windwalker Monk, taking that first spot.
Whoa.
I'm
surprised by that. Windwalker Monk. No, I don't know why I'm surprised. I'm sure the monks all knew this for a while, that you guys were pretty awesome, but gosh dang it, that feels random to me, but that's fine. Who else is in that top tier?
I've never really kept tabs on monks, so yeah, that comes as a surprise to me as well, but I don't know, maybe it shouldn't, because I just don't pay attention to that class really at all personally. Mm-hmm. But bringing up the rear for the top 5 after Windwalker Monk is Affliction Warlock in 2nd place, Enhancement Shaman in 3rd, Unholy Death Knight in 4th. I picked a bad time to stop playing Death Knight. and Balanced Druid in 5th.
Hey,
so get your Moonkin on.
Look at that. I mean, that's all I've played for the game until this week, which I will explain in detail what happened to me, because something changed very specific in my life this week in World of Warcraft. But that's good to hear that the Balanced Druid, it really has to just stand there and groove on it, and is pretty squishy, is doing all right with the DPS numbers. At least we're talking him in Castle Nanathria. It's not like we're talking about everywhere in the game. These stats are very specific to this dungeon, to this raid, to those mythics. Like, that's where these guys are at right now.
Yeah, you'd probably be doing pretty good in Torghast, I bet, as a Beast Mastery Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
Probably keeping yourself alive and murdering things.
That's
and,
the other thing, is I'm not even running like Tenacity pets. I'm running, what's wrong with my brain today? What's the one that's just damage? Not the PvP class, but the third one.
Oh, man. Ferocity. That makes sense.
I'm running Ferocity pets in there, so I'm not even doing that much in terms of crowd control, and I'm still just burning through stuff pretty well. And the boss fights, you know, hunters can run around and shoot while they run and do all sorts of stuff. I feel like Beast Mastery as a solo Torghast class is super strong as a contribute to a 25-man team trying to do real work. It sounds like he's not so good. He's down on the
If you're trying to, you know, maybe push the envelope a little bit. Yeah. Maybe not world first, but world 30th.
Sure.
Be fine. in case you're curious what the bottom 5 look like, because we're not going to cover every single darn one. I would like to thank the bottom 5 for making my chosen class of Arms Warrior look slightly better, because they're not doing great, but they're doing better than Arcane Mage in 20th place, Beast Mastery Hunter in 21st, ugh, Fury Warrior in 22nd, which is what I started this expansion as. And yeah. It's bad. and Destruction Warlock and Frost Mage in bottom.
Frost Mage. Okay, let me tell you what. Here's the worst part of your list. I love a mage and I love a Beast Mastery Hunter. When I play a mage, I prefer Frost Mage. I like the lore of it better. I like the feel of it better. I like the rotation.
You want to be Jaina.
Yeah, I want to be Jaina. I mean, who doesn't want to be Jaina? Not me. I want to be Jaina. And so if I'm playing either of those two characters, those are the specs I'm running, and I'm in 21st and 24th. And you know what? Two big fat birds to anyone who cares, because I'm still going to run the stuff I want to run. So don't put me in your world first guild, because that'll be a problem. You don't want me anywhere near you. Because that's the stuff I'm going to play. I'm going to play what I like. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have two pets out as a Beastmaster, because you're a Beastmaster. You're Master of the Beasts. You get two pets. And they're both, I got Henry and Ash Henry right now, just sitting there ready to roll. That's how I play this game.
And I never hunt alone.
I never do hunt alone. So anyway, yeah, that's the range. If you're looking for your class and you didn't hear your spec or class mentioned, it's there's a whole chart that says where you're at. I forgot to check who's like right in the center here. Let's see. I'm going to look real quick. That would be at number 10 and 11. We got Feral Druid and Shadow Priest. So your middle of the road is Feral. Well, I can't stand playing Feral anyway, so that's fine with me. But Shadow Priest, you know, whatever. You're few and far between, but there you are.
Population size is ridiculously low on Feral, by the way, for the stats that they're pulling from.
Yeah, 700 as opposed to, say, 18,000 for a Marksman Hunter or an Affliction Warlock at 12,000.
Actually, I think Marksman Hunter has the highest population size for this sampling.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. The lowest is Assassination Rogue at 34. That's really bad sample size. But they're still 19th. They're out of the bottom five, I guess, just barely, but... Anyway,
That's a really tiny sample size.
I really dislike playing Survival Hunter. I'm not saying it's a bad spec. A lot of people like it, and I'm glad you do, and I wish I liked it. I just don't like it. But if I did, it's doing a little better. You're at 18 there. It's not great. But of course, this is the kind of sample data that doesn't necessarily reflect every raid group going through this stuff.
Not
even close.
It's a gear-based game, right? Like a lot of that's going to play a role.
Right.
And this can end up shifting over time.
I do think it's great that Windwalker Monks are a population size of only 2,330 in this list, low compared to the averages, but took number one. Maybe y'all need to rethink it. Maybe you need to roll that Windwalker Monk, and now you're the DPS lord of all time. Or this gets patched out 3 months from now and it's all shit, and then you're at the bottom five with the Windwalker. You never know. That's what I'm saying. Stick with what you know. Play it the best you can, because you never know when you're going to get pushed up to the top, is what I'm thinking.
Everything from, like, the top 10 are all pretty close, by the way. The top three are especially. So Windwalker, Monk, Affliction Warlock, Enhancement Shaman, neck and neck in terms of their throughput. But the whole top 10 is in pretty close step.
Yeah.
So... I think what's more important is to be, you know, playing correctly.
I agree. Play your spec. Learn your spec, as the jerks always say. And maybe you'll do better. That entire article, by the way, is up on Wowhead if you want to go read it in detail and find out where you're at. And they've got a bar chart as well that will help you understand it even better. Okay. It's that time of show where we do this now.
Let's test.
That's wrong. That is the wrong. Oh, I know why. Because I was looking for the turtle kid. Hold on. Here it is. Whoops. Stupid turtle kid. Let's get to the main quest this week. We're just going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the game right now for us and what we're hearing in and around the community and how we're playing right now. So I'll start by just telling you that I got this wild hair at my butt about, like I said, about a week ago, where I just missed playing my BM Hunter I've played since the game began. GURP and Henry are an inseparable pair, and I just felt guilty that they were not level 60. But I had done all the Maw crap with them before I switched over to the Druid. And by Maw crap, I mean the intro stuff where you find Jaina and you're hanging out with Thrall and he's hurt and all that stuff. Basically everything until you get to Bastion. And so I didn't have to do that part again. And I thought, well, I do want to see what this other alternate leveling process is like, the Threads of Fate. Is it? Wait.
That is correct.
Threads of Fate. That's Threads of Fate. Because I didn't know how it worked, so I wanted the game to sort of show me how it worked. And the way it works is, if you are starting a brand new character, or you're taking a level 50, rather, and just starting that process, you do have to go to Ice Crown from wherever your capital city is, Hoarder Alliance, and then you got to go talk to Bolvar, and he's got to have you slowly take the pieces of the helm and lock him into place. And that whole intro bit where... freaking Taranda jumps in like a psycho and all that. You have to do all that. And then you get to the Maw, you do the whole meet everybody thing, you do that whole story bit, and then the few quests they give you in there. It's basically a level's worth of content. You do all of that stuff, which I think I timed it at around 40 minutes, 35 to 40 minutes. So you do have to do that. You can't skip it. You have to do that for the second or third or however many characters you do, unless they change that. But then what happens is they poop you out onto Bastion, and you then have a choice to make. You basically are, I forget who you talk to do this, but you're like, all right, am I either going to do this story again and choose a start in Bastion, work my way through the somewhat linear story of Shadowlands, which again, I think was amazing. So not a bad choice, but you can choose to do that and do all of that incremental, whatever you did last time with your main.
It's the main attendant. Like when you get to Ouroboros, the attendant comes out and starts doing the RP, but then it's like, choose, would you like to do the same stuff you just did or go?
That's right. She's actually out there on the platform. You're right. You don't even have to go in there yet. She just sort of shows up, and she's kind of awesome. Actually, I really like those characters, but anyway, so she tells me all the stuff and I get to choose, and Threads of Fate turns the game into a combination of what you were used to from, say, something like Legion. If you remember Legion, and I guess BFA was like this too. You had, you know, like four main sections, four main, you know, zones or whatever. And you could go in there and say, okay, well, I want to start in whatever. And you start in that zone, High Mountain, let's say in Legion. And then when you're done, you go back, talk to the dude on the platform up at Dalaran, and he would say, all right, well, what now you've cleared that stuff out, where do you want to go next? And then that next zone would scale to whatever level you are, and you go do that zone. If you're familiar with the way that structure worked, that's exactly what they give you. And you choose one to start with. So let's say Maldraxxus, you choose it, you go there, and you're not presented with much in the way of like, go talk to so-and-so. It's an urgent need for the, you don't do any of those sorts of things. Instead, you go there and you just start looking for both regular old question mark non-story quests that are just around, exclamation point rather, or you are doing like invasion repelling, or you're walking into an area where it's like, you need to clean this all out of here. And there's like a percentage bar. You're familiar with those. Those happen all the time. Actual world quests are populated out there. And
yep, so you can like, if you were like me, cause I did the same thing with my Death Knight. I didn't have high enough eye level to go to dungeons, like regular dungeons while leveling. So I was hitting the world quest to get some gear and up the eye level.
Yeah. And it's absolutely a great way to do that. And you're also earning renown, by the way, while you're out doing this. So a lot of the rewards you get are not just gear rewards, gold, and the normal XP stuff, but you're going to get some renown. So when you start, or when you hit 60 and you're ready to roll into endgame, you'll have some renown. Not a ton, but you'll be, you know, level 2 or 3 renown. I should say this. Before you leave, did I do it before? I'm pretty sure I had to choose my covenant before I left to start leveling, which I thought was weird. No, I did. That's absolutely true. I got to choose my covenant before I went out there and started leveling. So you had those covenant abilities with you across the zones. You didn't have the zone abilities that you got to test and play around with while you were in them.
Right.
So in Bastion, yeah. if you picked Ardenweald, you're in Bastion with the Ardenweald stuff.
It feels a lot like playing endgame, but you're leveling in that regard.
Yes.
Like you can go to whatever zone you feel like when you feel like going there. And you're going to have, like, because one of the upsides of Threads of Fate is selecting your covenant right away.
Right. That's right. I couldn't remember what order I did that in, but.
And the renown that comes with that. Yeah. A big tip, by the way, Scott, and I just now found out about this, is that you get camp, like, what is called quote unquote campaign quests for each zone when you do Threads of Fate. And they're that big bar that you very slowly fill up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are new to Threads of Fate and you are trying to min max your XP gain, which most of us probably are, you want to go and visit each zone right away.
Right.
The second you start doing Threads of Fate, what it did, like, yeah, they send you to a map. They tell you to pick one. That means almost nothing, because you can go wherever you want, whenever you want.
Right.
So the first thing you should do is go to Maldraxxus, go to Bastion, go to the other two, right. Ardenweald and Revendreth, and get those bars, because doing anything in those zones starts to progress that bar, including dungeons.
Right.
So if you're questing in Bastion, but you know, waiting for your cue to pop for a rando dungeon, you might get sent to like a Revendreth dungeon. And so you're going to be filling all of these bars up as you go along. You get massive, giant chunks of XP yeah. when you complete them.
Make that a much faster process.
Yeah.
So I did, I took a very specific path through this because I wanted to know what it felt like to not have any shortcuts. And I decided to go no dungeons during my time. Just content leveling through the zones. There were a couple of really fun, kind of creative questing moments. I can't remember where they happened. I think mainly Maldraxxus. But for the most part, it's broken up into like, you know, grindy style, almost like vanilla style questing. It's like you come to a little area and it says, I need 50 of these. Okay. Oh, you got 50? We need 50 more. Okay, well, how about another 25 of these other things you didn't get the first time? Okay, I'll go out and get... And you're just kind of re-scouring the same spaces for more quantities of things to bring back and give to somebody. I didn't mind that. That's fine. It's a great way to just pound out XP, and there's multiple quests happening in any given zone or any given part of the zone. So you're getting things done sort of, you know, multitasking and all that. But if you're going in there expecting this very intricate, tailored... crafted story based thing that you got your first time through, that is not what they're doing here. Not even close. They are basically just saying, here are buckets of XP, go get those buckets.
And it's way more obtuse than the standard leveling. And there's been a lot of criticisms about it being a lot slower, mm-hmm. but the deeper you get into the system, it's kind of back weighted. Cause as you start completing those major campaign quests and whatnot, like you start getting a lot more XP.
I actually had a weird question about when I was going to ding 60, because it looked very much like I was going to finish. I did Revendreth last for reasons. That place drives me nuts. and I did it last because that XP bar, or I just did. And that XP bar was going to hit 100% before I was 50 or before I was 60. And I was maybe, I don't know, barely 59 or a little bit over 59, couple of ticks. And when I hit the 100% on the bar, it dinged me to 60. I think what it did was say, well, you can't hang around here. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, kind of. That's what they're saying. And so it just dinged me to 60, whether I was anywhere close to it or not. Whatever that XP was, I just said, well, here's all the XP you need to be 60 now, which is a little weird.
Well, I was trying to... So if you finish one of those campaign bars... All right, it looks like... And this is a forum post, so take it with a grain of salt, but I'm assuming they did their research. Completing one of those campaign bars is 74,000 experience.
Oh, interesting.
So it's chunk.
It's a lot.
It's a chunk of experience.
Yeah, it's a lot. I closed all four. It took me a minute to kind of figure out that that's what it was doing. It was pushing me through these bars because the way I have a quest mod thing that changes kind of the order of stuff, and it was a little confusing. Like, I'm wait, where is this place that this bar is? Oh, it's its own like entire zone bar, and like it took me about 10 minutes to figure out what the hell that was. But
yeah, and that's another reason why you shouldn't. If you are even a little bit interested in doing dungeons, you probably shouldn't just rush down a zone, because then you're not going to be getting much from doing random dungeons, because you might get a dungeon for that zone if you're doing the random dungeon queue.
Right.
Now, the best way to do that is just mix both. Like, wait for the queue to pop while you quest. The queue pops, go to a dungeon, pop back out, continue whatever it is you were doing.
Right. Well, as a result,
do this.
Or go ahead.
What are you gonna say? I was going to say, you're just getting this nice even distribution of the completion across the four kind of mega quests that you're on.
Right. And those mega quests, again, I mean, here are my pros. It's no nonsense gameplay. So you just sort of know what you got to go do. Like, there's no. You don't have to think about it. You can watch TV while you're doing this, which is, I like that about WoW in the end game. And, you know, back in the day, even just like leveling through the game in vanilla or BC or whatever, there's long stretches of like, just go get me 50 of these. Well, I'm going to be listening to music or watching something on YouTube or whatever. I'm going to have other things going on. And so that's what this was.
My podcast consumption has gone up so quickly with my World of Warcraft game time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine as well. I think I listened to half a freaking audiobook just doing this one run. But anyway, so I really like that about it. It's just, there's no thinking. You don't have to stop and listen to a bunch of dialogue. There are, like I said, a couple of interesting quests, but it's all written. They don't bother doing a lot of VO for a lot of this stuff. Some of it does, but anyway, you just go and you freaking grind it out and you do it, and then you're kind of done. I think overall it's a pretty good alternative if you don't feel like doing that whole story bit again, which again was very cool. And there's a lot to experience story wise that maybe you missed the first time by doing other side quests and things, but I don't see the value in it. And doing that all over again, because the unique storylines come from post 60, where you then choose your covenants and then go off and do one of the four separate storylines. Experiencing those separately is not part of this experience. That's all endgame. So
yeah, I kind of wish that they would add, like, you could just push Renown regularly from the get go as part of Threads of Fate. Cause if I could start leveling up through the weekly Renown quests.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, would add a nice layer to Threads of Fate.
Yeah, I agree.
Help fill it out a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. If I had any real complaints, I mean, here are my cons. One of them is I think there's some world quests, but they're also a problem in world questing in general. There's a couple of world quests I just think are monotonous and hideous in this particular expansion, and I hope they get addressed.
That's always been the case, right? I mean, how many of us complained about jellyfish in Nashatar?
Right? Or the turtles made it to the water and all that bullshit. Like, I don't want to do... There's certain ones I just stopped doing.
I'll go to bat for turtles because I, too, hated it so much. But once they eventually added the quest where I'm the crab killing the turtles, yeah. I loved it. It was so worth it because it was so meta. And like, oh, you hate this? Okay, well, here, kill the turtles.
The meta worked for me the first time. And then after that, I was like, I don't want to do that either. Now that I've seen both sides
I liked that one. That was an easy, just left, right.
There's one in this where you're supposed to kill a bunch of these beetle things in Ardenweald, and you have to be, I don't know the name of the quest, but you have to turn into a cat to do it because they're all epics and the cat can beat the epics. And this cat form that you're in is basically like a really watered down feral druid. It's like three abilities. And
I know the exact one you're talking about.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's one of my... There's a lot of quests where you pilot other things. And even in Ardenweald, there's another one where you turn into a bear.
Yeah.
And the bear just, it's kind of boring. It's like, I think a three button rotation, but the bear just seems a little more well equipped than the cat that they provide for that other quest.
Yeah, that cat's bad. The cat's bad. You're supposed to bunch them up.
I'm pretty sure the cat quest you're talking about, it's up to you if you want to use the cat form or not. And I've definitely gotten there before. There's just been so many people nuking things. I just run around as my character and kill them.
Yeah. If you've got a lot of same faction stuff going on, you can just tag stuff that you're not even hurting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't, whatever. For the most part, those are fine. There's always a couple in an expansion that just drive me up a wall. But the only other con is I think it's unfortunate, or perhaps they could change this, but I think having to go through all that Maw pre-story stuff again is just kind of pointless.
That is without a doubt my single biggest complaint right now with alts.
Yeah. Cause you don't, and I'd forgotten I'd already done it with GURPS. So part of me was like, oh, look how easy it is just to get in here. And then I took the mage out and went, let's go get started. And then I went, oh no, I haven't done all the Maw stuff yet. I don't want to do that again. I have 40 minutes of my life I'm about to waste. So I didn't do it. So I think they need to let you skip that, even if it means just giving you level 51 XP to start the other stuff if it's a math problem, or distribute that XP into the other stuff or do something, because I just don't understand the point of having to do that stuff again. There's nothing about seeing that a second or third or fourth time that benefits you at all. It's the same, and it's all basically it's a roller coaster. You're just riding it, and... I don't understand the point of that. So that bugs me. And I also would say this is a side thing and a small thing and also an expected thing. Given how vibrant the story structure was in the story version of your leveling experience, it's a little dead without it. The world, I mean.
Without what now?
Without that carefully crafted story, and you're just going through Threads of Fate, it just feels empty to me.
I give a lot of leeway to Threads of Fate because it's entirely a choice thing. So if you don't dig it, like, no one's forcing you to go do it. I don't love that you can't decide to switch back. Because if you don't, if you try it once, you're locked into it. That character had, that's how they have to level.
Right.
But overall, I think it's fine. Because it's an alternative. It gives you at least some option to level a different way if you're completely burnt out with the regular story-based linear questing.
Right.
But I'm happy for the option, really, at the end of the day. It's definitely something I could see them kind of shoring up and altering and polishing up, but I'm fine with it. I think every time we've gotten on the show and talked about our criticisms of Shadowlands, all of it for me is it's pretty minor in the grand scheme of things, since I'm still really enjoying the expansion.
Yeah.
That all these things kind of stick out because so many parts of the expansion are done so well.
It's about this far into BFA, I was starting to feel bummed, and I'm not feeling that here. So
no, I'm still doing world quests. I was like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't care at this point in BFA.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people that are, you know, whatever. It's always true. Some people hate this expansion. Shock everybody. The internet's weird, but
People have different opinions. I know.
Weird, right? It's so weird. But I'm not feeling the burnout or the whatever. I was getting a little burned out on the druid, but that's a druid problem, not a game problem. And you know, some might say, well, Scott, now's time to learn to be a healer. No, I don't want to be one. Heal your freaking selves. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be straddled with that responsibility. I have nothing but respect for healers in this game. Hats off, man. Freaking all power to you. We need you. Come be part of us, man. You're the best. I don't want to be that guy.
Wait, have your characters been announced for the new There Will Be Dungeons?
Oh yeah, I'm a healer in that game, by the way.
Okay, I was talking to Kyle about some things, and I was like, wait, am I allowed to make a joke about this?
Yeah, I'm it's funny you say that, but see, in D&D, it's different. It's not the same. It's like, when you're responsible, three of you are responsible for keeping 25 people alive, and it's just fiddly, and the right mods have to be installed, and if you screw up, everyone hates you. They're mad at you because you can get healed, and the healers are mad at the other people because they DPS too much or somebody pulled too much aggro or whatever, all those things that have been around in the game forever, I still want to freaking butt up against it. I'm not saying it's not a valid thing to be doing or a challenge to overcome. That's great. I just want to damage stuff and sometimes tank, but even then, I don't like that as much. I enjoyed it with my Demon Hunter, but I'm just not that much of a tanker. So it's a me thing, I admit. No aspersions cast upon the healing population of World of Warcraft. Y'all are critical to our survival. But I don't want to be that guy. That's not me. Just hating on Torghast a little bit, though. Can we talk about this for a second? We talked about it before. Let's talk about it. Here's my thing. Here's my thing with Torghast. So I'm torn because the moment I go into a Torghast, I love it. I'm excited. And an hour and a half later, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I at level 4 yet? What are we doing in here? Like, I'm starting to die, or not die like the character, but I'm starting to die a little inside because I realize that I am really grinding for not much of a reward at the end of this. Like at the end of this, I'm not going to be surprised by an awesome RNG chest that'll be full of a thing I didn't expect or a bunch of gold that I didn't have before I walked in there. Like, I know we keep talking about this. It's a little bit of a dead horse for some people, but I want to get to that fun thing because I want to be having fun doing that. I have fun playing roguelikes like Slay the Spire or Monster Train or whatever, Binding of Isaac. I mean, just name one. They're fun. Moment to moment, I'm having fun in those games. And enough fun that the rewards are just gravy on top of the fun. In this thing, I feel like the fun isn't equal to the rewards. Like, I know that I'm just swapping fun for time now because my big complaint before was time, but if I'm not having fun, then what am I doing? Like, should I even go near that? You know what I mean? Like,
I have one thing I know is a new angle that I haven't mentioned before, but all of this is tied up in things we've talked about already, which is like, there is a required material, a required currency you need out of here. We need Soul Latch because you need to be doing the legendary grind.
Right.
And because of that, Torghast feels required. And right. Yeah, you can do lower layers. And yes, in 2 weeks ago when we talked about that, Kyvax's blue post, when they were adjusting Torghast, they were talking about how they wanted to a future goals to make it more clear about the difficulty you're about to step into.
Right.
And I think that would be an improvement, but I also think it's not treating the underlying disease. It's just treating a symptom. Mm. It's like, oh, cool. Yeah. Well, if I had a better idea of how difficult what I'm stepping into is about to be, that's all well and good, but it still just feels like I am just falling behind. There's this feeling of I am missing out, that it doesn't matter how hard it is. I need to get it done. I need to just keep throwing myself at this repair bill so that I don't fall behind on Soul Ash.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my thought there. Like it, they need to figure out what it is. Is it a thing that we push because it's difficult and it's fun and it's replayable, or is it a thing that we do weekly because it's just part of our weekly roundup of things we need to do so we stay current and up to date on our tunes?
Right.
Because right now they're trying to do both, and it's just, I don't think it's working. I still like Torghast. I still think it's infinitely cooler than Warfronts or Island Expeditions.
100%.
It's a landslide victory in my opinion compared to that. But the weak points in the armor are really apparent to me right now. And so anyway, there's my catch up for instance listeners on things we've mentioned in the past. The new thing for me is that I've full cleared Nathreon normal twice now. I did another half clear this week on top of LFR and on top of a little bit of mythics. I'm not going crazy, but I'm pretty well geared now.
What'd you get out of there, by the way? Get something good?
No, actually. Gearing is kind of tough right now. I've gotten kind of garbage out of the raid. I have one of my best in slot trinkets, and I think both of my rings, I think, are best in slot. But everything else is like, okay, decent. I cannot find a weapon to save my life. And that's been a big sore spot for me. But everyone has that one slot, it feels like, right now.
Yeah.
I've been drowning in shoulders. Funny enough,
too many. You got it, pauldrons for days.
Yep, I could build a monument with those pauldrons. But with Torghast, I feel like I want to give it, like, I'd like it enough to where, again, I want to give it some leeway. But I think this is the week where I kind of look at it and go, okay, my level's nothing crazy. I'm a 190. It's decent though. My damage is decent. I'm no longer an embarrassment to my raid. It should feel easier. Torghast should feel easier. And yet this morning, and it was on stream, and people watched me cuss the paint off the walls because I got all the way to the final boss almost 2 hours in of a layer 8 of just my normal run. I already did one wing this week. Ugh. Layer 8, no problem. Got through super smooth. This morning, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do the other one that I hadn't done yet. Took me 2 hours, and I couldn't beat the final boss. Ugh. I couldn't do it. So I wasted just 2 hours of my life.
Yeah, see, isn't good. That's bad design. I mean, no offense, guys. We love your game, but that right there, what you experienced, is bad design. Now, some people may say, well, that's the point. It's got to be hard, or else what's the point? I understand that, but time is money, friend. Like, I don't want to do that. Yeah, it's
like, whatever. If there was, like, incrementally better rewards, like if there was a piece of gear at the end, or I got a piece of gear no matter what, but the eye level was determined on how many floors I did, plus what layer it was, if you had something like that. Or screw it, throw it all out and just be like, sorry, it's just achievements. You get achievements, you get titles, you get mounts for the Maw, you know, what they're doing with Twisting Corridor. That's also fine. But the fact that your Soul Ash is locked behind this, that's where, and we talked about this on Incident Nexus, and this came from one of the designers on Heroes of the Storm. They have this what they call the salt wall. And they're always asking, the balance of the certain hero, these abilities, this kit, are people hitting the salt wall?
Yeah.
I've hit the salt wall with Torghast.
Yeah.
Like the time investment to my enjoyment to the feels bad. It's officially out of whack.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be patient, and I've had my criticisms here and there, and I stand by the fact that I like it so much more than I see it as replacing from BFA, but it needs some work, and I would have expected, I guess the timing's bad, but if it was any other time of the year, I'd be kind of incredulous, really. I think they've waited too long to make updates to it. But we did just come out of the holiday break. This is historically the deadest time for all the Blizzard games, and so we do need to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But, I was really hoping it was going to get easier with gear, and now I have what I would consider decent gear, and it's not.
It just still feels that way, yeah.
Yeah.
And that feel is everything for me at this stage of the game. So, I don't know, but maybe the one reason I'm more frustrated is... I agree with you. I would take it over Islands and Warfronts and all that stuff any day. So part of my frustration is you've almost got it. Like, it's just, let's, the tuning you can do. Like, I know they can do this. I don't know how they were going to fix the stuff I didn't like in BFA. It looked impossible. Like, there was just some, those were fundamentally flawed systems, and I couldn't see a way out for them. In this one, I can totally see a way out for them. Better rewards, less grindy, less time in there. Don't make the only thing I can't kill the final boss after 2 hours of playing. Like, there's some stuff that can be, I know they can do it. They'll find the balance, and like they always do with things that need balance, and then I'll be happy with this thing, or more happy than I am with it now. But right now, it just sounds like hard work. This just sounds like, ooh, I don't want to go do that. I'd rather scan around for a world quest to give me a slight upgrade to the shoulders I'm wearing. Like, that seems dumb, but at least I have this sense of, all right, those numbers are better. Flying over there. See you guys later. All right, I'm in Bastion. Where's that headpiece? Oh, there it is. Okay. Look at that. Numbers went up. I'm logging out, right? Oh, that's the other thing I wish.
It was like, this week I had a really unique thought, which was, hey, Twisting Corridors is out. I wish I could spend more time in there, but I still had to get my other two runs done, and I got boned on one of them, so it just ate a ton of my time.
Right.
So, yeah, there's just, I don't know. My relationship with Torghast is weird, dude, because.
Yeah, love, hate.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, it just winds up and just puts me on my knees.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I wish you could do is log out while you're in there and stay there. Because I've had twice now where I've been like an hour in and my wife's like, oh, hey, the dinner things, we got to eat now because I've got a meeting on Zoom or whatever her thing is. And I got, I got to go. Okay, well, I'll log out here. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, I'll just log back in here. No, it puts you out by the post. You're done. Whatever you spent in there is over. You didn't get anything for it. Yeah. I hate that.
I think after this morning, like, it was such a low blow for me. I think I'm personally going to just start running layer 7s instead of 8s every week. Because I know it'll get done.
Yeah.
And whatever, I'll just leave a little ash on the table and just move on with my life.
Leave a little ash on the table.
Dude, it is. Yeah. This morning really, it really tilted me.
Yeah.
They went for it, man. And I commend them because I do think they've landed on something that really is unlike anything I've seen in World of Warcraft before. And that, to me, that's cool. And to me, that's worth celebrating.
Yeah.
But for the love of God, now let's get in there and let's iterate. Let's mess with it. Yeah, let's get some updates.
Let's fix that thing. I think they're going to. I have faith. So there you go. You say the Beast Warrens are still buggy as hell? What's wrong with those?
Oh, and the Maw. Yeah, dude. Yeah, the Maw is another one. Both of these, I feel like at this point, both should be quicker and feel like simpler experiences, and they just don't. But the Maw, the final zone you unlock is called the Beast Warrens, yeah. And you get a quest called the Hunt. And there's like in zone of events in the Beast Warrens that are part of the Hunt, and you go kill named mobs,
sure,
or maybe specific mobs, and then you start the hunt and you kill A, kill B, kill C. It'll just bug out. I killed A, and then B just never spawned.
Oh,
it just never showed up ever.
That's a bug.
And I was like, I was messaging my guild, and they're like, oh yeah, that's bugged. And then I went on the forums, and it's like, oh yeah, that's bugged. And it's still bugged. You might get lucky and finish the hunt quest, but probably not.
I love that attitude of, yeah, it's still bugged. Anyway, maybe fix that.
I am, of course, simplifying. There was plenty of, let's get Taliesin on here and do a shit show. Just a compilation of all the horrible people yelling at Blizzard. But
yeah.
That's a little sad. Like, I was like, oh yeah, final zone. Ooh, it's so creepy and it's full of big bads. And it's just like, I'm just going to avoid it because I can't actually progress.
Mm. It's a cool name, so. Beast Warrens. I like that.
Yeah, it is cool.
Hey guys, let's talk about ExpressVPN for a moment. If you don't mind, because I sure would like to. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? Here's the thing. Sad thing, most of us have very little choice in that regard because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. And then they kind of use that monopoly power, if you want to call it that, to take advantage of customers and consumers like you. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data to other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is it? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network's data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server. So your ISP can't see all that activity and they can't sell it to somebody else. Just think how much of your life is spent on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, and message you send gets tracked by ISPs and other tech giants, and they sell your information for profit. Well, it's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. Just download the app, tap one button on your phone, and you're protected. Or your computer, either way. The ExpressVPN does the rest, and it does so without slowing your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. It's really great, super simple. I love stuff I only have to click a button to make work. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your data and activity and sell it off. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep my private online time. Visit expressvpn.com/wow. That's expressvpn.com/wow. To get 3 extra months for free. Again, expressvpn.com/wow right now to learn more. Speaking of cool things in the lore of the game, I'm about to introduce something a little bit new, but I'm going to play this music for it. Not rapid fire questions today. Instead, we're playing Lore Lovers. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to test Garrett on his understanding of lore, but only in one tiny example. All right.
Oh no.
I haven't warned him what this is yet. I'm going to play a clip. It will be the voice and characterization of a character from the game's past to test your knowledge as to whether you can tell who this is just by hearing their voice. All right.
Is it multiple choice or do I have to pull it from my brain?
Just one, pull it from your brain, and there's only one.
You are evil. You can't remember the name of anyone. Evil.
Don't worry, I'll iterate on this like Torghast. It'll get better and I'll balance it out. But we're going to start with this clip. And I'll play it multiple times as needed, if you need it. It's very short. It's only 6 seconds long. And the only hint I will give you is that this character is, in the history of World of Warcraft, a big bad. Okay? So I'll put it that way. It's not going to be anything easy like, oh, here's Sylvanas or Garrosh or whatever. It's going to be something more than that. All right, so I'll play it, and then I'll see if he can get it. Here we go.
Is close. You are already dead.
Any ideas?
No.
Play it one more time.
Is close. You are already dead.
I'll give you another hint.
The hell is that?
The last time you saw this guy, I assume it's a guy. I know the voice actor is. It appeared in World of Warcraft as a final encounter in a... Let's put it this way. A final encounter in patch 1.9.
1.9.
Yeah, so this is old. But this is like final 1. Massive.
1.9.
Yep.
This close, you're already dead.
Chat room knows, but don't cheat and look there.
I got nothing. Kel'Thuzad?
You give up?
That's not 1.9. Kel'Thuzad.
The correct answer is C'Thun. It's C'Thun.
I haven't even seen the C'Thun fight, so I got nothing. I didn't know C'Thun had voice lines.
Well, I can tell you this too. C'Thun was played by Brian T. Delaney, I think is how you say his name. He did the voice for the character as he appeared in the final encounter in Temple of Ankaraj, implemented in 1.9. He served as one of the main antagonists of classic World of Warcraft and still does if you're playing classic, I suppose. Yeah, that's your guy. Well, I think he did I think he did pretty good at the guessing. He just didn't quite get there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
almost. Dude,
I got to like level 47 in vanilla. All right.
Next time I do one of these, I can tell you he or she will be from Cataclysm. That's your hint for next time I do this. Cataclysm character. Yeah. And it won't necessarily be a boss. It could be, you know, not a boss.
I'm going to call it now. I think it's going to be maybe 2 to 3 months of this show before I get one right.
Oh, I have faith in you. I think you'll be fine. Check this out.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
Well, Mr. Metzen, I have answers. This is an email that we got from Andy Davis. He sent it to theinstance@gmail.com. That email address is available to anyone, anywhere, anytime. So please use it and send us your questions, thoughts, and feedback. Andy says, hello, Scott. I have listened to your show for years and decided to finally write in. I too am frustrated with travel in the game, but I have the perfect solution. A Volpera Nage. He might mean Mage. Yeah, I think he means Mage. He put Nage with an N. Hot new class coming soon, the Volpera Nage. Anyway, it says, not only do they have a port to Ouroboros at level 52, but they can make a base camp to the outside world. Interesting. I set my home to Ardenweald, my current covenant, and my base camp to the zone I am currently questing through. OMG, it has made travel that much better, and I would highly recommend it. Keep up the good work, and thank you for taking my email, Andy Davis. So that's a cool workaround there, I guess.
You have to commit to an entire class to enjoy it, but yeah.
And you have to be that rat looking
and race and class.
Yeah, that turd rat race.
Oh, dude, Volpera are awesome.
I'm just kidding.
If I was gonna play a short race, it would be Volpera.
Yeah, you're right. No, if I'm going short race, I'm doing that. I just can't do the short races. No offense to any short anyone's.
It's an issue for me too.
I don't know why I hate them, but
I don't like being that low.
Yeah.
And it's even weirdly satisfying because it makes it look like you're running faster, even though you're not. Everyone's run speed is the same without buffs, but you feel like you're going faster.
For a quick note here, everyone in the chat room yelling guild cloaks. We know, we talked about that last episode.
Yes.
Garrett went through that whole rigmarole.
I was about to ask you, have you gotten your guild cloaks yet?
No, Scott? I haven't done any of that yet.
Do it. What are you doing?
Go. I don't know. I think what happened is I went, I'm putting the druid on the shelf for a minute. Where are you, GURP? And then I stopped worrying about travel for a while because I was kind of not needing it. And now I'm back in that boat. So I'll go get it done.
It really does help.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was a third cloak with only a 2-hour cooldown. So now I have 3 cloaks in my bag.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's many cloaks.
It is. But I also have many bag slots now. So
the many cloaks of Garrett. By the way, chat room, quick advice. I have a demon hunter who will probably be the third character I take through this game. I'm not ready to do it just yet, but when I do, do you think I kind of want to roll him as a tank through that experience? Because when I played the first time, well, I'm sorry, when I played him in BFA, I found I was having more fun in tank spec Vengeance than I was in, what's the other one? Chaos Theory or
Havoc.
Chaos Theory. I was having a lot more fun in Vengeance than I was in Havoc. And I seemed to be killing stuff just fine. And of course, I was maintaining life a lot better just by sheer fact that I was a tank. But I was killing stuff left and right, not really slowing that down. I think I'm going to do that. Any objections? Does anyone think I'm nuts? Am I going to cut my time in half if I go ahead and stay with Havoc? Like, I don't know.
I've been flirting with a druid and everyone has given me the same piece of advice, which is go as bear for him and just pull multiple mobs at the same time. Really? Every time I'm in the maw, I'm in protection warrior spec.
Yeah.
Questing as tank is totally fine. Just make sure you pull a little more than you think, because then it's going to be more time efficient for you.
Right.
You know, just cleave everything down.
All right. Chat seems to agree. Also, people are saying DH tanks are OP right now, crazy DPS. So maybe a demon hunter tank is not a bad way to go.
I think you're going to be just fine, man.
I mean, Alora, you say tank is slow. That's typically true, but that's my point, is it doesn't feel that way with that character. I've never felt that way with him. I felt that way when I would play other tanks and try tank spec and then try to level that way, and it did feel slow. And, you know, and like Garrett said, you can pull more mobs, but still just taking them all down took longer and all that. I don't feel that way with him. For some reason, I feel like he tears stuff up either way. And I don't die as much, or I don't come, you know, I don't lose as much life, but... Anyway,
now, there's people who still level up just by picking flowers. I think you're going to be just fine with whatever you decide to do.
Yeah. Once again, play how you want to play. All right. All right. A reminder, we're doing this giveaway today. If you don't have Shadowlands yet, you're sick of us talking about it without actually playing it. Whatever your reasons are for not having it, now you have no excuse. You can go enter this contest and win yourself a hot new copy. We have EU as well as North American keys available. Sorry to anyone in any other territories. We just don't have those right now, but... If you want to be one of the people picked, you might get lucky. Go over to theinstance.net/freebies. If it's easier just to go straight to frogpants.com/freebies, same thing. They both get you there. Fill out the form. It's real easy, small and short. We don't take any massive information or anything. It's just to put you in the running. And then sometime before this weekend ends, sometime before Monday, I will whip out the winners and get them their codes. And again, it's just codes, so you don't have to wait for anything in the mail. You just get a code from me, and you're set to go. So go check it out. That, again, is theinstance.net/freebies. And once again, big thanks to Blizzard for providing codes for us to give away. Okay. I think it's going to do it for the show. A reminder that we are supported by you each and every month that we do this show. Head on over to theinstance.net and learn how you can be a backbone of what we do. It helps us a lot and means a lot, so please, please go consider it. That's theinstance.net. Become an Instance Plus member today. Quickly, let's find out what Garrett's doing outside of all this. By the way, I got to say this real quick. There was a story on TMS about some angry chickens. And that was what the headline says. Some angry chickens cause a ruckus in a McDonald's parking lot. And all
sent that to me.
Yeah, and all I could do was picture you and Jocelyn fighting in a parking lot for some reason. Weird, right? So anyway, yeah. But that's not what that was about, and that's not what the angry chicken's about. Anyway, tell people what you got going on.
Brand new Angry Chicken just went up this week. Brand new WoW Killer went up this week. Taliesin and I talk about the fact that everyone seems to have forgotten that Nathanos ain't in his normal body. So if we see him in the afterlife, he may look different.
Yeah. He's an a-hole still, though, no matter what.
Of course, then I was inundated with tweets reminding me that the short story mentions that his cousin's body, who is the body of Nathanos we know, they went to great lengths in that short story to explain that it looked a lot like Nathanos.
Yeah,
apparently, which whatever. It's
fun. Sure, they're related, that's, right? They're in cool. the same genetic family line. Why not?
It's his cousin. Yeah, that's the body of his cousin.
Yeah.
yeah. So if you want to hear all about that, go get WoW Killer wherever your podcasts are found, and Angry Chicken, and Into the Nexus, and all of it's at amove.tv. So go check it.
Jeez, you're like me. That's too many damn shows. Look at all these shows. We got all this stuff going on. But if you like this show, go to theinstance.net and you can find more great stuff about us, for us, and around us, as well as other great shows to listen to on the network. That is going to do it for us. You guys are awesome. I know you know this, but you really are awesome. And we can't wait to see you next time. Until then, I want you to all have a safe and happy week. Try to get over what we've been doing here lately. On a national level, and enjoy World of Warcraft and other things as they come up. That's going to do it for us. For me and for Garrett, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.